I'm so glad that you're here to lift him. There's something amazing that happens when we're in the room at the same time and we start to praise him. In one mind, one accord. Crazy stuff happened on the day of Pentecost when they did that. And so, hey, I told him in the first service, I'm like, if you're visiting today, you're like, man, you guys are kind of crazy when you praise God. And I'm like, it's because we're fundamentally crazy to start with. But aside from that, it's because we know what God has brought us through to get us to this place today. Like, I'm not ashamed to praise him because I know he's brought me a long way. I'm not the person I used to be, and yet I'm not who I'm going to be. Thank the Lord for that. And we're glad you're here this morning. I just want to take a moment and say, hey, we have some friends here, a whole row of folks from Georgia visiting on vacation. And I just thought it was just pretty awesome. Just wave your hand so they know who we're talking about. They're on vacation, and you know, it's amazing to me. I love it when somebody's on vacation and they remember the house of God, like they still go to the house of the Lord on that Sunday. So God bless you for doing that. And you know, if you need any help while you're here or need any money, you can talk to Tori. He's new here, so he can help you out. I'm glad you're here this morning. We're a couple of weeks into a message series on doors. Have you ever wondered, like, maybe you've had this experience, life is going in one direction, like things seem to be going well, like you feel like you've got a plan. Do we have any real planners in the room? Like, you've got to have a plan. Like, I'm one of those people, like, I need to know what the plan is going to be. And you've got a plan, and maybe it's a good one, maybe it's not such a good plan, but you have a plan, and just then all of a sudden, things seem to start to move in another direction. Like, you've got goals, some things that you want to achieve in life, and then they don't seem to work out. Everything seems to change. I'll tell you something I think you probably already know, and that is that change is inevitable. Change is going to take place. It doesn't matter what it is, there's going to be change. In fact, if it's living, there's going to be change. That's what really sustains life, is change. And many of us are resistant to change. If you're here today and you're one of those people who are resistant to change, let me see your hand. Go ahead, yeah. And there are some really unusual people who love change. Any people, yeah. Any people in the room that love change? Yeah, you know, that's really sick. Honestly, there's that just needs some prayer. But you know, even for people who really love change, and like you're anticipating change, when it doesn't change for you, that is change. Like, that's a new thing that you're going to have to deal with. So all of us, there's places in our life where things happen and they just seem to be beyond our control. And we know that God has plans for us. We quote Jeremiah 29:11 all the time. I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to bring you to a hope and future. So we know that God has plans for us, but somehow, even when we're walking out the plans, it seemed like, wait, I thought it was going in that direction. Now there's a change in the plan. When I grew up, in case you're not from here, I'm from Pittsburgh originally, and I grew up in Western Pennsylvania, thought that I would spend the rest of my life there, passed up a scholarship to go to Lee University, and decided I was going to stay in Western Pennsylvania, go to school there, and work at my home church, went through the university, and graduated, and right about the time I was graduating, the economy just tanked. The coal mines began to close, the steel mills began to close, the economy went so bad. This is how bad it was. We had about 30% unemployment in our church, which is just unthinkable. There was very little funds, so I started to do all kinds of stuff to sustain myself. I started to mow lawns, I gave piano lessons, I gave voice lessons, I started to teach in a private school. I did whatever that I could do. I learned to do wallpaper. Just all kinds of craziness. And it was like I was moving in one direction in my life, and then all of a sudden, it was my plan to stay in Western Pennsylvania for the rest of my life. And then the economy changed. And I had the opportunity to move. There was a gentleman that came to visit our church. He was an evangelist, and he said, "Hey, I'm going to go back to pastor next year. If I go back to pastor, are you interested in taking a job with me?" And honestly, my actual response was, "It depends where it is. If you call me from North Dakota, I can tell you no. Like, God is not calling me to North Dakota. And if you're from North Dakota, we're glad you're in Florida today." Just so happened, he called me from Orlando. Called me from Orlando, and I shared a little bit of this last week. Called me from Orlando, and I came down in that October, visited the church, loved the church, loved the people. Went home, and when I went home, like, called him back, said, "Nope, not coming." Actually turned the job down 5 times. Now, let me just talk about this for a second. I'm in Western Pennsylvania, and I'm broke. This is how broke I was. I was driving a gremlin and was happy. You know, it was either that or a bicycle. And so I was so broke, and yet the Lord was having somebody call me and offer me a job, and I was completely resistant to it. Because in my mind, in my dream, the thing that had gotten me to the place through college, Through all the work, in my mind, I was going to live in Western Pennsylvania. I was going to work in that church, and God was going to do something great in my life. And then it just didn't work out. I remember the day he called me, and he said, "This is the last time I'm going to call you. Either you come here now, or I'm not going to call you back." And it, honestly, I've said this every time I've ever talked about it. It was almost like a third-person experience. I was determined to say no, and the words yes came out of my mouth. I put the phone down and laid down on the floor and rolled and laughed and cried at the same time. I'm like, what just happened? So I moved to Orlando, and when I moved to Orlando, and I wish I could just tell you that it was the most glorious experience, but it was not. I did not want to be here. My heart was still in Pittsburgh. I was mourning and grieving. I was angry. I was angry at God that I was not in Pittsburgh. I spent the whole first year just really not happy with God. I felt like he had kind of betrayed me and moved me away from my friends and my family. I had a struggle almost every day to stay here. The Lord and I had many conversations, and I had many conversations where I was basically telling him, I'm not staying. And then the first of the year, after I'd been here about 9 months, the first of the year, I was in prayer. There goes that, you know. And while I was in prayer, the Lord spoke to me like he had at the beginning of this year and told me, "It's a year of reality. Get a new reality. Like, your new reality is you're not going back to Pittsburgh." And so in that moment, while I had been walking through, like, I was mourning not being with my family. I felt very broken. I felt forsaken. I felt like God had made promises to me, and somehow they were not coming to pass. And I had said yes to everything that God wanted. And I believed that eventually I was going to go back to Pittsburgh. But the Lord spoke to me and said, "No, this is the new plan." So in the middle of it, it was like there was a change. A year of change took place. And what I started to realize at that moment, and I've lived this out ever since that, we've been talking about doors here at Christ Church of Orlando. Last week, we talked about God opening doors that no one can close. It's out of Revelation, the 3rd chapter. And that when he opens a door, not like Jonah, like you yourself can't say no to the door. You can say no, and I said this last week, you can say no to when God says yes. When there's a door and you say no to it, all I've said is like, you don't have to do what God tells you to do. He'll just make you wish you had. And so that's exactly the way it was with Jonah. Jonah ended up, God just kept closing things off on him. And so same thing for me. Like, I felt like the Lord had just commanded my steps. And what I've realized is that we love the open door. And like, honestly, I could preach for a couple of minutes here and get you guys all fired up. Like, God has an open door. Somebody say open door. Like, there's a door in front of you. You're going to walk through. And honestly, in about 30 seconds, I could get you like, man, I'm ready for the open door. But here's the thing is that Sometimes the closed door in our life is as important as the open door. Sometimes it's God's ordination in the closed door that actually defines where we're going and what we're going to do. It's not just a matter of, in Revelation, the third chapter, it's God says, I've set before you an open door that no man can close. But the latter verse says, and I've closed a door that no man can open. So in our lives, there are times when God's going to open a door, and there are sometimes when he's going to close a door. What do you do in your life when there's a door that closes? Most of the time, we get anxious, we get depressed, we get angry, we feel forsaken from God, and that's what happens to the story that we're going to look at today. In 1 Samuel, the 16th chapter, you can turn with me in your Bibles. I hope you have your Bible. If you don't, there's an insert that you'll be able to follow along. It's in the bulletin. We're going to also put the scriptures up overhead. There are three key people in this story that we're going to take a look at today. The three people are Samuel. He's the namesake of this book. Samuel is the prophet of God, probably one of the most important prophets of the Old Testament. He's the man that God has appointed to appoint kings. He really gives the direction. He's the man who actually appoints the first king of Israel. And the first king of Israel, his name is Saul. He's the second character in this story. Saul is the first king. He's charismatic. He's a great personality. He's a beautiful man. He's the women love him. They swoon over him. They literally sing in the streets about him because he's a great warrior and he's beautiful. And they're like, Saul has killed his thousands. The women sing in the streets. Even as crazy as things are in our generation today, like with rock stars and pop stars, honestly, they don't actually sing in the streets about these guys, but Saul, they did. He had that kind of influence in the community, and he was a hero. He was a hero, and yet, even though he's been appointed of God, he becomes disobedient, and he becomes arrogant. And the confidence that he walks in because God has appointed him is the very tragedy that turns against him. In fact, that's really the true definition of a Greek tragedy, is the thing that makes you great is the thing that makes you fall. And so his self-confidence is the very thing that ultimately causes him to be brought down. He's disobedient to God, and he's arrogant, and he offers a sacrifice that God told him not to do. And finally, God says, okay, I've had enough with Saul. I'm closing the door on King Saul. And that's where our third character comes in, and that is David. David is a shepherd boy. He is the son of Jesse, and we're about to see that God is about to do something in his life. So let's read together, if you would, in 1 Samuel, the 16th chapter. I'm going to start in the first verse. Samuel is sad. He's feeling rejected. Literally, he's depressed because God speaks to him, and God has told him Saul is not going to be the king. And Samuel he's confounded and he's depressed. And so here's what the Lord says in 1 Samuel, the 16th chapter, first verse. The Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul? How long will you mourn for Saul since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Was he appointed by God as king over Israel? Yes, he was. Was it the right thing in that season? Yes, he was. But there were some things that took place that the Lord closed the door on that. And he says, how long will you mourn over what I've closed the door on? How long will you mourn over Pittsburgh? Like, how long will you mourn over that relationship? How long will you mourn over that job? How long will you mourn over that thing that I've closed the door on and I'm about to do something else? And Samuel, he's holding on to it. He's holding on to it and he's lamenting it, even though God has already, he's closed the door on this. And here's the reason why, is because Samuel's completely involved in this. He's emotionally involved in it. He's personally involved in it. He's spiritually involved in it, and then God rejects this thing, and God closes the door on it, and he starts to grieve it like it's a death, like And so, like, we have a recovery group here at the church that's for grief and loss recovery. And there's a grief that comes when you lose something. And I'm not just talking about the loss of someone's life, like when you lose a job or when you lose a relationship, if you go through a divorce, if you lose a status, if you once were respected and you're no longer respected, there's a grief that comes with that. And Samuel is grieving this almost like a death. And there's some characteristics behind this. And here's some of the reason why he's grieving this is because, first of all, he has pride involved in it. Like, he's esteemed in the community. Everybody respects, everybody listens to Samuel's word. He's the prophet that appointed the king. And so now, all of a sudden, his pride is on the line. Like, I'm important in this place. What will people think if God closes the door on what I've done? What will people think if I lose my job? What will people think if I make that decision? What will people think if I don't do what they thought I was going to do after I said that God told me to do it? What will people think? And so he has some pride. What will people think if I went to school and took a degree in this one thing, but that didn't work out, and now I have to go on and do something else? What will people think? And so we hold on to something and we lament something that God has already closed the door on. This other thing that I observe out of this is there's comfort involved. Even though Saul was disobedient to God, Samuel was used to it. Like, he had become accustomed to that. It was comfortable. He had learned to live with something that was substandard. Now, how many of us have gotten to that place in our life where we've just simply learned to settle with something that's less than everything that God has for us? And so he settles for comfortable. And then there's some fear involved in this. So there's pride, there's comfort, there's fear involved in this. Because ultimately, he has, his emotions are like, what's God going to do next? Like, what's next? I don't know exactly what this is going to be like. And so when you don't know, you often end up in fear. So here he is. He's got pride issues. He's got some insecurity issues. He's broken. He's mourning. And God comes along and says to him, how long will you mourn? How long will you mourn? How long are you going to grieve what God has already closed the door on? And in our lives, in your life, in my life, how long it'll take us to get over the grief is how long it will take us when it comes to like a new goal or a new thing or a new vision, is how long it will take us to realize that there's a new dream. That's how long we'll mourn it. So many of you, you're facing transitions right now, and the door is closing on something. The door is closing on a relationship, or it's closing even on a religious experience that you've had, or it's closing on a tradition. It's closing on some church. It's closing on a job. It's closing on friendships. It's closing on something that you've been very tuned to, and it might have started out really good, but now it's no longer a good place for you, and the Lord has closed the door, and he's telling you, you have to move on. It's another thing. It's a new day. There's something, and we try to hold on to it. Like, honestly, like these doorknobs up here, it's like the door's closed, and we're just standing there like, come on, God, just work with me on this thing. And he's like, I don't want you to have what's on the other side of that door any longer. So don't take it personally, because that's what we often do. We often think when God rejects something in our life that we think he's rejecting us. Because that's what it feels like. He's closed that door, and we feel like maybe there's something that we've done, and we've been disobedient, and honestly, many times it's not that at all. It's just that he has something better for us than what's behind that door. And so in verse number one, he says, fill your horn with oil and be on your way. How long are you going to mourn this thing? Fill your horn with oil. Well, we know that oil is a sign of the Holy Spirit. So he's saying, like, get filled with the Spirit. Let the Spirit of God come in and lead you and teach you. Get in the Word. Begin to worship. Attend church. Get around people who are going to encourage you. Pour the Spirit over yourself. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you in the deepest places of your heart. Fill yourself. That's what I loved about that passage in Revelation. When John says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I saw all kinds of stuff that was coming in front of us, Man, if you want to own the future, get in the Spirit. Let the Spirit fill you. And he says, be on your way. Get up, get up, get up, get up, get up, get up, get up. Get up and get on your way. There are some of you today, honestly, whew, you've been holding on to emotions. Some have been holding on to depression because it's been comfortable. And I understand that there are some medical issues that can get involved in that. I get that. And so, like, I would challenge you, get to someplace and get some help. Talk to a counselor, get to a doctor. But let me just also say, some of us, we just settle in that when the Lord's telling us, get up and open up the blinds and do something and move forward in your life. Get up. You've been involved in an abusive relationship. Get up and move forward. You've been stuck where you are spiritually. Get up and move forward. Get up. There's something else that I want to do. See, I'm sending you, verse number one, I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen another thing. I've chosen one of his sons to be king. Have you ever noticed, and this is a huge thing for me, have you ever noticed that when the Lord tells you to get up and start to move forward, most of the time he doesn't tell you everything he's going to do. He tells you the next step. How about this? When Jesus called the apostles, he was like, hey, come and follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Hey, that sounds really cool. Interestingly, Jesus didn't say, come and follow me and I'm going to get crucified and hung on a cross, and then you're probably going to get killed too, and I'll make you, like, he didn't give them all the details. He was just like, this is the next step. Just take the next, he just tells you the next thing. And sometimes what we want is we want God to tell us all of it. We get bored where we are. Wait for the Lord to give you the next thing. He says, go to Jesse. Okay, Jesse, you're going to have me point one of his sons. Okay, what's his name? Come on, God. Like, if I'm going there, you might as well tell me in advance, you know. Does it have a Y in his name, you know? Is there a Z in his name? I'm like, honestly, I said in the first service, like, can I buy a vowel, you know? It's like, we want God to give us all the details, and God's saying, listen, you're going to have to trust me. Get filled with the Spirit and trust me. Get ready for your future. Get up. Get ready for your future, but you're going to have to trust me with every step of the way. Listen, when I moved to Florida, God didn't give me all the details. He didn't give me the details that there were going to be some tough days. He didn't tell me that I was going to have to walk through a major transition in my life and leave one position and leave an office in a church and honestly, a denomination where I was well connected, and that I was going to go into a place where I was going to meet in a room with only 34 people and start a church. Honestly, if he would have told me in Pittsburgh, hey, I want you to go to Florida, and there's going to be some rocky days in front of you, and you're going to end up with 34 people who are going to start a church with you, I can tell you, no, God, like, before you can close that door on me, I'm closing the door on you, God, you know. But so here's what he says in verse number 2. Samuel says, how can I go? Saul will hear about it and kill me. He has fear that's playing into this. You know what he's, because God's appointed him to appoint the first king, Saul, and now God's telling him to go appoint the second king. Okay, here's the dilemma with this is the first king is still alive. It'd be one thing if that king was dead, but because the first king is still alive, it's treasonous for him to appoint a second king. Are you sure you know what you're talking about, God? If Saul hears about this thing, do you have any idea? I can only imagine, like, God's, he's like, do you know what can happen, God? And God's like, hey, angels, come around. Samuel's going to tell us what's going to happen, you know? Had no idea that could take place. And so here's, he has this point of view, and honestly, it's fear-based. But in your life and my life, we're going to have to take steps. We're going to have to do some things. Sometimes if we don't even have all the information, sometimes you might even have doubt. You might have questions, but God's going to ask you to say yes and follow him just the same. Real faith is following God even with doubts and even with questions. Real faith is saying yes to him even if you don't have all the answers and the complete perspective. It's not so much, honestly, about what you think. It's about what God knows is ahead of you. And so here's what he says, verse number 2. The Lord said, take a heifer with you and say to them at Jesse's house, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Verse number 3, invite Jesse to the sacrifice and I will show you what you are to do. You are to anoint for me the one I indicate. You're going to go to his house and I'll show you there what you're supposed to do. And Samuel did what the Lord said. There, when he arrived in Bethlehem, the elders of the town trembled when they met him. Because honestly, it's a fearful thing. If the prophet of the Lord shows up at your house, it would be a fearful thing. Like generally, if the prophet of the Lord showed up in the Old Testament, he was going to pronounce a curse. You know, somebody was about to die. And so here he shows up and like they're all trembling. When he arrived there, they said, do you come in peace? And Samuel replied, yes, in peace. I've come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come to the sacrifice with me. Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. It wasn't just his worship that was going to affect people. He was inviting other people. His worship would change a family and a nation and a destiny. And when they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab. He's the oldest son. Samuel saw Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed stands here before me. He's the smart one. He's the first child. Any first children in the room? We middle children have struggles with you. Because like all the responsibility, all the hopes are on the first children. Samuel goes, hey, first child, he's going to get the inheritance. He's the smart one. He has the highest IQ. Look, he's a good looking guy. Come on, come on. It's obvious. This is the one that the Lord is going to anoint. Eliab's name actually means hero. And he's got to be sitting there going, okay, hero. Saul was a hero. He's just like Saul. And that's a problem. Many of us, when we step into our future and God's trying to close the door on our past, what we try to do is we try to replicate into our future the thing that God already closed the door on from our past. If you keep taking bricks from your past and building a house in the future, you'll end up in the same place where you were. And God's telling him, like, this is not it. I'm not looking for another replication of a hero. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at things in a man's heart. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And then Jesse called Abinadab, and he had him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, the Lord has not chosen this one either. If you read ahead, just a few chapters, God knew what was in Abinadab's heart. Abinadab rebels against God, and he sides with Saul. God knew that was in there. A lot of times what happens is we're walking into circumstances and we're mourning where we've come from and we know that God wants to do something, but we don't understand that the very next thing that comes up in our path, it may not be the thing that God wants for us either. Like, okay, so I just broke up with that person. Well, that person came along, they think I'm cute. They must be God's plan for me. No. Yeah, have anybody here ever heard of like rebound relationships? Honestly, it's because really you're making a response into your future based off your past as opposed to walking into a better future. So God comes along and he says, not this one and not this one. There are some of us, we've walked out of interviews and been broken and hurt and feel like God rejected us and he wasn't paying attention to us because we didn't get the job. And what we didn't realize is somewhere down the road in another month or another 2 months that guy's name is going to be on the news for me too. And honestly, you'd be a part of that whole story. And like God kept you from that by a closed door. And yet we walk away going, I'm mourning that door. We have to know that God knows what he's doing. And verse number 9, Jesse then had Shammah pass by, but Samuel said, nor has the Lord chosen this one. Jesse had 7 of his sons pass before Samuel, but Samuel said to him, the Lord has not chosen. No, 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 no. Lord, I thought you sent me here. I don't get this. You've closed the door in my life, and here I am. I'm stuck in this place. There, no, 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 no. Like literally door slammed on so many things. Man, I wish I had never said a word. And just know this. Just because the next thing comes up, the next thing isn't always the right thing. So sometimes you have to wait on the Lord, and there's going to be multiple no's before God gets you to the place. And so what we have to do is we have to get to the place where we begin to celebrate the closed door, because it's as important in our life as the open door. Verse number 11. So Samuel asked Jesse, "Are these all of your sons?" "There is still a youngest," Jesse answered, "but he's tending the sheep." Samuel said, "Send for him, and we will not sit down until he leaves." Honestly, can I just talk about Samuel for a second in this place? Like, I prayed, "Lord, you closed the door, and Lord, you said a hero. Why couldn't I have a hero in my life? Why couldn't I have the best? Why couldn't I have the smartest in my life? Like, Lord, why couldn't I have this in my life?" Why? And the whole time we're crying, like, I'm having to go to sleep alone at night, Lord. I don't know why I'm not with that person. I don't know why you didn't let me love them and let them love me, because God was saying no. It was a closed door because he had something better in your life. And so he sent for him. And so today, there's some things that God wants you to know. He has some better things in your future. So he sends for David in verse number 12, and had him brought in. He was ruddy with a fine appearance, handsome features. Then the Lord said to him, "Rise and anoint him." Get up, get up, get up, get up and anoint him. Get up, because this is the one. Get up, get up. Don't just sit. Rise and anoint him. Get up, because there's something yet in your future. Don't get stuck in your mourning. Don't get stuck in your bitterness. Don't get stuck in your rejection. Don't get stuck in the depression that you feel like God has left you behind. Don't get stuck in that place, because God has closed a door, because he has an open door in front of you. So Samuel took the horn of the oil, which is the Spirit, and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. There's a reason why God anointed David, is because, first of all, David had promise down inside of him. He had the seeds of the kingdom. He had the seeds of the Messiah down inside of him. Like, there's somebody that God wants to bring into your life, and there's places God wants to put into your life that, honestly, it has the promise of your future in it. So you can't afford to mourn over your past and miss the open door that God has for your future. Many times we take it in offense, and then we get stuck. But I'll close out with this. Jonah, God had a plan for his life, and God had to close door after door after door after door to get him to the place. Not just Jonah. How about Joseph in the Old Testament? Joseph had to be rejected. Think about this. Had to be rejected by his brothers. Had to be thrown into a pit. Had to be betrayed in prison. Had to be thrown in prison. Live in prison for 13 and a half years. The whole time, every one of those steps. Think about this. Rejection, the will of God. Being in prison, the will of God. Having someone lie on you and frame you, the will of God. Had all of that so that he could step into the future and ultimately save his family and birth a nation. See, we only think like, "Ooh, the open door, the blessing. Woo, I want that." Sometimes you have to walk through the difficult places, chosen of God. And Jesus, how about this? Jesus went about doing good, doing miracles and signs and wonders, and preaching the kingdom of God. And yet Isaiah 53 says this: he was despised and rejected. He could never come into the throne that God had for him without the rejection. He could never come into the place that God had, his father had for him in the future, unless he was acquainted with grief. So there's some places in your life that God wants to move you into your future. So wait patiently on him. Trust him that when he closes the door, just know that he has a door open in front of you in the future. Here's what it says, Romans 8 and 28, and I'm going to pray. We know that all things, somebody say all things, all the good things, all the bad things. Seriously, I'm going to go ahead and say, like, all the sick things, all the hurtful things, all the negative things, yes, all the positive things, all things are working for your good. All things are working for your good to those that are called of God according to his purpose. So wait patiently on him. Let me pray with you this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, I love you. I thank you, God, for this day. I thank you for your blessings in our lives. I thank you that you've been patient with me on every door that I was angry about that you had closed. And I'm thankful, Lord, that you brought me into places that I could not have imagined. That when you were opening a door many years ago in Pittsburgh and closing another door, that pain of leaving Pittsburgh, I would have never imagined that it would give me the opportunity to stand here and speak hope into somebody else's life. So Lord, today I ask you, Lord, that we'll get our eyes fixed on you and that we'll trust you. And Lord, give the assurance to every person in this room that they're not lost, that you know where they are, that their life might be in transition, but you're ordering their steps, that no weapon formed against them will prosper. Lord, that you're working on them and in them and around them and through them, and you're working for their future, and all things are going to work for their good if they'll just trust you. So Lord, help us to trust you. And Lord, if there's somebody here today who hasn't trusted you with their eternal life, Lord, we're going to give them the opportunity to say yes, to trust you. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you've not said yes to Jesus as your Lord and Savior, in these next few moments, this is going to be an open door for you, an open door into the future that God has for your life. And so will you just repeat this prayer after me, everyone in this room? Dear Heavenly Father, I pray in the name of Jesus. I acknowledge that Jesus is your son and that he came to this earth so I could have an abundant life, so I could have a new life in you. So today I close the door on my past and I open the door of my heart to you. Jesus, come in. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. And from this day forward, I'll follow you. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you just prayed that prayer, I'm not going to embarrass you, but if you just prayed that prayer in these next few moments, I'm just going to ask you to acknowledge that you prayed that prayer and it was for you, and so I can pray for you in the days ahead. If you just prayed that and it was your prayer, you needed to pray that, let me see your hand right now. Just let me see your hand. Yes, yes. I see it. Yes. Amen. Yeah, their hands going up in this room. Yeah, it's God working in your life, taking you into a new place. Hey, if you just raised your hand, in the seat in front of you, there's a card that says, I made a decision to follow Jesus today. While we're in this moment, will you just reach forward and grab one of those cards? Fill it out before you leave here today. Turn it into myself, Pastor Tori, or take it to the Starting Point Guest Center. We want to help you get started on your journey. Will you let them know they made the best decision of their life? Come on, come on, come on. We're going to close in these next few moments, but I'm going to ask you to stand with me if you would. And maybe you're walking through a transition in your life and you need God to just lead and guide you. We're going to have some prayer partners that are going to come down front here. And so if our prayer partners will come in these next few moments, if you'd like to have somebody join with you in prayer, we'd like to say, like, God has a plan with you. Don't be impatient. Just follow him. Amen. Amen. While we sing, go ahead and put your hands together and let them know as they're stepping out of their seats, come down for prayer, that they're making a good decision. Come on, step out of your seat if you need prayer.